You'll notice in your worship bulletin the area called His Word for You, and this is from our readings from last week. That's just a way for you to spend time with the Lord yourself, alone, going through the whole of His Word and reading His Word, and all the readings come from that, and the messages. Aside from this, is Stewardship Month, so the messages may be in different places, but Neil's going to read our Old Testament reading.
A reading from Lamentations 1, 1 through 5. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are upon her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is none to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed feast. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan. Her maidens grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. A reading from Lamentations 1, 1 through 5.
Father, we see clearly here, just in these first five verses, Lord, the result of sin. Lord, you've said the wages of sin is death. Lord, we know sin is so serious.
Jesus, you talked about plucking out an eye if it causes you to sin. And Lord, we know you didn't mean literally, but Lord, we know that you are speaking of how serious sin is and the serious measures we need to take to rid it from our lives. And Lord, here we see the result of sin. You said right there at the end that they had all these griefs. You caused all these griefs because of their many sins. Oh Lord, help every one of us to repent. Show us everything that displeases you, and may we completely in our hearts and minds and lives repent today. Turn fully to you. Commit totally everything to you. Give all to you that we may abound, not grieve, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your love for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Neil. Father, we would also ask that right now, Lord, as your word has been read throughout the service and sung about and in different venues, we've heard your word. And Lord, now we're about to hear it, Lord. We're about to hear a message from your word. Lord, we thank you for your promise that your word will accomplish what you desire when it goes out. It will not return to you void. So we thank you for what you're about to do and have been doing through your word throughout this service and through Bible study this morning. We just pray, Lord, that we'd receive it with soft and receptive and open hearts to hear whatever you have for us and to put it into practice and to do it. Not to leave hearing, Lord, but to leave doing your word. Lord, get me out of the way. We need to hear your message, Jesus. We pray it in your precious holy name. Amen. Well, as you know from this past week, we're looking at our theme for this month, our stewardship theme, abound. Abound. And this past week, we looked at the message, abound. And how do we abound? We looked at that this past week. And now, this morning, we want to look at abound. Have you pulled your boat up? Abound. And the question this morning is, have you pulled your boat up? Let me give you a little more insight into that. When Simon or Peter had been washing his nets, as we're about to look at, and Jesus came on the scene and just got in his boat and asked him to go out just a little bit in the water so he could teach these crowds. And then as Jesus asked him to put out into the deeper water and let down the nets again, and Simon, as we'll look at in just a moment, he had an opportunity to see God's power and his glory, and he and all his companions were amazed and astonished at what God did. Jesus is God. As you know, Jesus, God in the flesh, what he did in this astonishing catch of fish, and how he did that. After they had seen this, it brought a reaction of repentance, really. When Peter saw that Jesus was God and he just did this, he kind of caught sight of himself and said, "Whoa, I'm a sinner. Oh, have mercy on me." And he actually told the Lord, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. You know, you don't need to be around me. You're God, obviously. You don't need to be around me. I'm a sinner." And it says at the end of the passage that after they had seen Jesus do all this, he said that from now on you're going to be catching men. And then it says that they pulled their boats up on the shore. And you can just see that. You can just see them. It says that they pulled their boats up on the shore. And maybe they had everything, and maybe they had the nets in there, got everything. That was their life. They were fishermen. That was their life. That was their calling. That was their business. That was their livelihood. That was their everything. But it says that they pulled their boats up on the shore. And you can imagine just everything, their whole life in that boat. Their whole life is in that boat. It says they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. They turned the other way. They left their whole life. They gave it all away. They left everything and followed Jesus. And so that's what we're getting at. That's the question of the hour. That's the question of this morning. If you want to abound, the question for you this morning is, have you pulled your boat up? Have you pulled your boat up? Your whole life with everything in it, every relationship, all your time, your talents, your treasures, your resources, every relationship. If you're a mom, you're a dad, you're a brother, you're a sister, you put it all in the boat, and even your own life, and you step in the boat yourself. Have you pulled it all up on the shore and gotten right there and just turned your back on it all and just left it all and made Jesus the first and foremost? Just you're going to follow him above everything. That's your new focus. You just follow Jesus. Left everything and followed him. Have you done that in your heart? That's the question of this morning. Let's read it. It's Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Let's read it together. One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge, two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish. They caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Well, do you want to abound? Do you want to abound? Do you want to experience and live what Jesus is talking about when he says, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly"? Do you want the abundant life? You need to pull your boat up. Here's some things to do if you want to abound. Getting to that question, have you pulled your boat up? First of all, if you want to abound, welcome God's presence. Welcome God's presence. We see that in verses 2 and 3. He saw at the water's edge, speaking of Jesus, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. You see, are you seeing Jesus in your life like Simon did? Jesus, that's God. God is right near Simon, and Simon notices it. Simon's busy. He's washing his nets. He's done fishing. They haven't caught anything. He's washing his nets. But then he sees God. While he's busy, he sees God. He sees Jesus with this crowd before him. And he sees God step into his boat. Jesus steps in Simon's boat. In verse 2, and then in verse 3, verse 3, he got in and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. So Jesus just got in his boat and then he said, would you put it out a little from the shore? Simon welcomed God's presence. He was busy, but he was looking for God. He was observing Jesus. He was watching God, and he was watching what God was doing. He was in tune with God, with the Lord Jesus, and he saw God get in his boat, and he heard God ask him, "Hey, would you put it out just a little bit?" And he welcomed all that. He wanted to see where God was, and he wanted to be where God was, and so he he put that boat out just a little bit. Are you seeing Jesus like Simon did? You say, "Well, I don't see him today." Jesus said, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." Do you see him today? Are you seeing Jesus like Simon did? Do you see him in the details of life? Or do you get so caught up in the humdrum and the routine that you rarely see the Lord Jesus through the day, or you rarely see God through the day? That can happen. You can get so caught up in the routine and not even thinking about what you do, just going through the motions, and you can miss him. He's there. He's everywhere. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is near you. Jesus Christ is right here, and he's right near you all the time, and he's in you if you're a believer, and he's ruling and reigning, and he's doing all kinds of things. The question is, are you perceiving it? Are you seeing? Are you welcoming his presence? You can pray for that. You can pray just like the prophet prayed for his servant. The prophet prayed for his servant that the enemy was coming and approaching. And the servant was all worried, and so the prophet prayed, "God, would you open his eyes that he may see?" And it was a prayer, "God, open his spiritual eyes so he can see." And the Lord answered that prayer, and the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and the servant saw that they weren't in trouble at all. Yeah, the enemy and the army was coming, but the servant then got to see the spiritual. The servant got to see what God was doing because he had spiritual eyes all of a sudden, and he got to see the armies of God all around him, that they were completely protected, that they had the most with them. And it's the same for you and I. Do you see the spiritual through the day? Do you see God throughout the day? Do you see the Lord Jesus throughout the day and what he's doing? Do you perceive him? Well, you can pray about it. God, open my spiritual eyes. I pray that every day. As soon as I get out of the bed, that's one of the things I pray. God, open my spiritual eyes. That's about the first thing I pray. Open my spiritual eyes that I can see you, Jesus. And I just stay there till I see him, till I see his face. And God, I just want to see where you're going all day. I want to follow you. Do you see him? Do you perceive him? He's in the details, the humdrum. Do you see him everywhere you look? You know, the more you read his word, the more you see him. The more you hear the word and read it, the more faith you have, the more faith he gives you, and the more you see him. You see him with eyes of faith. So are you seeing him? Jesus said in John 5, "The Son, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he is doing." And you see, in the same way that Jesus related to the Father, we're to relate to Jesus. And so it's the same thing for us. Jesus said in John 15, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And so we could say that as well. We could say, "I tell you the truth, I can do nothing by myself. I can do only what I see my Jesus doing." You see, Romans 12, we're to keep our eyes, or Hebrews 12, we're to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, seeing him all day, doing what he's doing, saying what he's saying. I tell you the truth, I can see nothing. I can do nothing by myself. I can do only what I see my Jesus doing. Think about it like that. For whatever my Jesus does, I also do. For my Jesus loves me and shows me all he's doing. We know those principles are true. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We can pray for spiritual eyes to see what the Lord is doing all around us. So do you welcome God's presence? Do you look for him? Do you see him? And next, when you do, when you get that, do you hear God's voice? Look at verse 4. "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.'" So he's focused on the Lord. He's seeing the Lord. He's where the Lord is, following the Lord. And then he hears the Lord tell him something. He hears the Lord's voice. He hears a command of the Lord. "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." What about you? As you welcome God's presence and you're looking for Jesus all day, every way, and you're trying to see where he is through the day, do you hear his voice? Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Do you hear his voice all day? All you have to do is get his word. That's his voice right there. When Scripture speaks, God speaks. So you can wake up before the day begins. You can get God's word. And you can go ahead and start hearing the Lord's voice first thing in the morning. And just get in his word. Let him speak. Do his word for you in your worship bulletin. Do our daily bread. We got some more out there. Whatever you do, spend that time with the Lord in his word. And you'll hear his voice. That is his voice, his word. Let him speak to you. His word is living and active. He'll speak the things he wants to tell you that day. But then throughout the day, do you hear God's voice? Do you hear him? What does it look like? Well, I always remember this example for some reason. But when I was a minister at Cloverdale Baptist Church, some people here used to be members there, but when I was at Cloverdale Baptist Church, I remember I was a education and youth minister. And one day I was driving home, and it was a see you at the poll day. And we were going to have a big rally that night, maybe at Fraser or something. And I was going through somewhere close to I was going coming down Hall Street. I had gone past ASU. I was getting pretty close to, Houston Hill Middle School was down there. And I was kind of close to Tulane Court. And I saw this young boy, and he had kind of dyed hair, he was a white boy, had dyed hair, and just looked a little rough around the edges. And I was just driving by, and I felt like the Lord was telling me, "Give him a track, give him one of these gospel tracks," And I thought, well, you know what? I'd have to drive up right next to him. He looks like he's a middle school student. I'd probably scare him half to death. I'd have to drive up right next to him. I'd have to roll down my window and say, hey, kid, you know, and here's some man, some young man calling out to some middle schooler saying, hey, kid, come over to my car. You know, it just didn't make sense to me. It just didn't sound too good. And, that was what I was hearing in my spirit. And so, if I remember, I think I just kind of went on and tried to pass by, but then I felt like the Lord was still telling me, go give him a track. So I turned around and had to come back. And I just had to bite the bullet and say, well, forget all the fear and what this looks like. And if some other police officer or an adult's watching and they're saying, what's that guy doing? He's trying to get that kid in the car. Just forget it all. I'm hearing this voice. And so I just pulled up next to him. I said, hey, kid. And he did look scared. He was kind of backed up the other way. He's like, yeah. I said, hey, would you like to have one of these? You know, he kind of looked. Yeah, I'll take one. And I got to talk to him just a little bit. He went to Houston Hill, and I got to invite him. I said, tonight, our church is doing something. You know, meet at our church at this time. Then we're going to go over to Frazier. We're going to have this youth rally. And that was pretty much it, and I left. Well, he came that night. He showed up, and then he became a vital part of our student ministry and our youth ministry. And then he brought his brother, and they both were real active in our youth ministry. Well, what happened there? Do you hear God's voice? That's what it looks like sometimes. These little promptings, a still small voice, do this, say that, call her, call him. Do you hear his voice? I've shared before, so I don't think you'd mind me sharing again, but I remember one of the first times I noticed John. I don't know, he's probably been hearing it a lot, but I remember one of the first times I noticed John Allen doing this, and I think he's allowed me to share this before, so I didn't ask this. I try to ask before I use my kids. But we were at a soccer game, and one of the first times he ever did this, and so it surprised me, but he just came up to me and he said, Dad, can I have a couple of tracks? And I said, yeah, and it was the first time, you know, and now my kids do it a lot now, but it was the first time, and I thought, wow, you know, I guess he's hearing the Lord's voice. I was like, what's going on? What are you talking about? He said, those two guys over there by the bathroom, you know, in the soccer field, I need to go over there. And so, you know, he took those and he walked over there and he shared with both of these guys. And what about you? Do you hear God's voice? Next, when you hear it, do you obey? Even when you don't understand, when you hear God's voice, that still small voice, that little prompting, do you obey? Even when you don't understand, we see this in verse 5. Simon answered, you know, Jesus says, he heard the voice, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. What's Peter saying there? Peter's saying, listen, Jesus, we're professional fishermen. This doesn't make any sense. We already got the nets pretty much clean. There's nothing out there. We fished all night. We're pros. Jesus, you don't fish much. And you're telling us, go out there again, drop the nets again. So you can see his hesitation. But he obeyed even though he doesn't understand. What did he say? He said, Master, but because you say so, I'll do it. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm telling you, there's nothing out there. But because you say so, I'll do it. Well, that's kind of what I was going through. Just that little prompting, hey, give him a track. You heard what went on in my mind. Lord, that doesn't make sense. You know, I'll look, you know, this older man telling this kid, come to my car, look at what I got over here. You know, just, it doesn't make sense, Lord. But thank the Lord, I obeyed even though I didn't understand. And that's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that's what God is telling us about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. There's no telling what God would do in and through every single one of us, moment by moment, all day long. If we would live that verse out, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't let your own understanding play any part in it. Just totally trust in the Lord with all your heart. Can you imagine what God would do if we would do that and obey that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Just go to him. Acknowledge him. Another translation says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. The one I'm talking about, NIV, says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's what God's trying to get us to do. Trust in him with all your heart. Forget about your own understanding. Leave it behind. And you see, next, then you see God's power. That's our next point. So welcome God's presence. If you want to abound, welcome God's presence. Hear God's voice. Obey when you don't understand. And then see God's power. That's next. That's what happened in 8 through 10. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. Oh, I'm sorry, in 6 and 7. When they had done so he obeyed even though he didn't understand. They caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. You see, when you obey God, that's when you see abundance. That's when you see blessing. That's when you see God's power at work. And when you obey, when you don't understand, you just obey because you're trusting in him with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding, then you see God's power. And then next, when you see God's power, then you're probably going to do the next thing, confess your sins. When you see God and you know you've just seen him work and you've trusted him and he's come through, watch out. You catch a look. When you see Almighty God and you look back at yourself, it's not a pretty picture. God in all his holiness and splendor, when you catch sight of his glory and his power and what he's doing, what he wants to do, and you look back at yourself, the next thing to do is just confess your sins. Just confess your sins. Say, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Verse 8 through 10, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished, and all the companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the partners. Confess your sins. And finally, when you're seeing God and you're seeing his glory, the best thing you can do is pull your boat up on the shore. You see, once they knew, this is God. This is God. Look what he's doing. Look what he can do. And then he told them what's next. Hey, from now on, don't be afraid. You're going to be catching men. Well, he's told every one of us that too. He said, if you're a believer, he said, go and make disciples. That's catching men. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And I'm with you always. He's commanded every one of us as believers to be making disciples. And so we've heard that call. But the question is, have you pulled your boat up on the shore? That's what's next. Once they knew this is God, this is his call, once they've encountered Almighty God, they realized they needed to pull their boats up on the shore, all that they are, all that they have, and hear his call to follow me. And they knew that meant to leave everything that was theirs, everything that they knew, to leave everything and to follow him. Let him be first in my life. Follow him above everything. Have you done that? Have you done that this morning?